views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm talking to you today from the KKNW studios here in Seattle. You may be listening somewhere on cable radio network, somewhere in the United States, maybe on one of the 35 stations in Australia, or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. But wherever you're joining us from today, you want to stay tuned because we've got some wonderful things to talk about. But first, I want to say hello to my better half here in the studio, Mr. Benny Mathers. Benny makes it all possible for you guys
shucks.
To hear us.
That's what I do. But it's okay.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. We're having a great show today.
We are.
This is a book that is sweeping the nation right now. It starts here, though. You're hearing it first.
It's really, really exciting. And this book has been authored by somebody who I've known professionally for many years.
We've been
bumping into each other for probably at least a decade and a half. And I knew her story. And when I heard that her story had been written into a book, I was so excited because I knew it was going to help many. And, the person I am talking about is Brenda Michaels. And for those of you who are listening right now, you're probably like, oh, yeah, we know Brenda because she is a passionate communicator. You hear every morning, weekdays here on KKNW.
Kind of a staple.
Syndicated.
Yeah, kind of a staple around here.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. With her sweet husband, Rob Spears. And she also does the monthly Women's Hour show. She's a public speaker, a workshop leader. She is the author of several articles on women's health issues, an animal activist. She's a spiritual and emotional coach, something we can all benefit from, regardless of the stage we're at on our paths. And you may actually recognize her name and her face, too, from the Today Show, when she appeared as a guest with Kathy Lee and Hoda's, on their segment, Everyone Has a Story. Her new book, The Gift of Cancer, A Miraculous Journey to Healing, was co-authored with Marcia Mercant, which brings me to our second guest, both of whom are here in the studio, which makes it extra fun. Marcia is a multi-award-winning actor, singer, and voiceover artist, and she has performed internationally on stage as well as in film and on television. She's a national voice of Time Warner Cable, HSBC, Aetna, Sirius Radio, and Hertz, as well as the New York City's 311 information line, so you may have heard her in a variety of ways. She loves to take her creative passion and contribute to other books, and including Fearless Women, as well as The Gift of Cancer, which is the book we're going to be talking about today. I am so grateful that both Brenda and Marcia are here in the studio with us today. Welcome.
Thank you, Christine.
Thank you.
It's really a pleasure to be here, and we have passed each other in the hallway many years now.
We have.
Yeah, and it's really great to be present with you.
Well, we're going to be talking about this wonderful book, The Gift of Cancer. But first, I want to hear the story about how you two linked up, because I think that there's an important lesson here about the creative process.
Well, I'm just going to start by saying that how we were really introduced, and then I'm going to let Marcia run with this because she has a really interesting story to share with us. But I had interviewed, or Rob and I had interviewed on our radio show, Conscious Talk Radio, a lady by the name of Marianne Helpin. And I had received a couple of her books, the Fearless Women books. I think it's a 3 series, mm-hmm. Marcia.
Right.
And I love them. I love the stories of these women. These were such powerful women facing such adversity in their lives and coming out the other side. And the photography was incredible. It was women holding a sword. and then their story. And so I had to have Marianne on our show, and we did. And what I do with all of our guests, Rob and I really do try to connect at a very deep level. Uh-huh. And I connected with Marianne, of course. And I never dreamt that when the third book came out, which was Visions of a New World, mm-hmm. I never dreamt that I would be invited to the book launching party, uh-huh. but I did get an email from Marianne, and she invited me. And it was in L.A., and I was thrilled and honored to be invited, but I thought, you know, I have no business really being there. All I did was, you know, interview her, and she's been interviewed by lots of people.
Right.
But that little voice in me said, you need to go.
Mm.
And so I paid attention to that, and so I ended up there, and then I'll let Marcia take it from there.
Well, my part of that story really starts with a tremendous loss in my life. I lost my best friend of 45 years to cancer.
Oh, wow.
In 2011. And as a result of that, the reason I even mention that is because it's what opened up my life to the possibility of change, of shifting, of doing something completely unimaginable to me, uh-huh. completely unexpected.
Tell me more. Why did that open that up for you?
Because I was in such tremendous grief and such pain and such anger and such a feeling of injustice, and I couldn't do my work anymore as an actor. I found that I wasn't able to put on pretty dresses and go sing in front of people and have them judge me worthy or not.
Uh-huh.
I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't. So I started writing in my grief. I wrote about my grief. I wrote about my pain. I wrote about my anger,
uh-huh.
To just try and get it out of me, to try and make some sense, to try and make this a gift in my life somehow, because I needed to go on, and I really didn't think I could endure it.
Right.
So as a result of that, then subsequently, about 4 or 5 months after she passed, Marianne called me. And I've known her for a very long time. We're longtime friends. And she had just lost one of the editors of her most recent Fearless Women book.
Uh-huh.
And so I was just talking her off the cliff. She was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. She wants all this money. I don't know. You know, I'm just crazy. And I was just talking to her. And about an hour into the conversation, I get this little voice in my head that says, well, tell her that you'll edit it. Uh-huh. And then another little voice that says, what are you, crazy? You don't know how to edit. What are you talking about? And it just kept persisting. And finally, mm-hmm. in about 15 minutes of that, I said, well, Marianne, I can edit it for you. And she said, oh, my God, would you? That would be so great. And I thought, I don't know. I have no idea. But I had spoken it. I had made this commitment. And it was much greater than I was, or my insecurities about whether I could or couldn't do it.
Right.
I suddenly had this responsibility to these women whose stories really needed to be told. They demanded to be told. And
so the mission became more important than your ego doubting.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Which was another gift. So I worked on 25 or 30 of the stories of these women. And when I was done with that, there was a big launch party that was going to happen in Los Angeles. I live in New York. And so it's like, I can't really go to that. I just can spend the money, blah, 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 blah. And again, the little voice said, go to it. You've put so much into this. Go meet these women that you've shared such intimate stories with. Mm-hmm. And really, it was an unbelievable journey with all these great stories. So I went to the event, and the last 2 hours of the last day, the third day of this event, Brenda and I happened to sit at the same table, and we just got started talking. She said, I have this manuscript. I said, send it to me. And the rest is history.
Well, yes. It's great that you were both listening, because I can just picture, you know, on some level there was somebody kind of manipulating the situation,
yeah.
so that it would connect you to.
Sure.
So, you know, Brenda, I know people have been asking you for a long time to write your story, because your story helps so many.
Mm-hmm.
Had you written a book at that point?
I hadn't. And this is the comical piece of this, and the perfect part of it as well. I'm not a writer. I'm not a very good writer. I'm an okay writer. I can write articles, and we do blogs on our website, and Marcia edits most of everything, and I've become a better writer working with Marcia. But I recognize where I have my weaknesses, and I'm okay with that.
Uh-huh.
I didn't aspire to be a writer. And I'm a better communicator with voice, etc.
Sure.
So When I decided to give my manuscript over, and as you know, Christine, writing is a very intimate process.
It is.
Especially your own story. You have to be willing to be vulnerable, and you have to put your ego aside and allow that person that you're turning your work over to dig into that. And hopefully that person can help you. Where I was struggling was I didn't trust myself enough in the story. I didn't trust the story. Rob says I'm the only person he knows that could take a sentence and make it a page. Just one sentence. and I'm wordy. And so when I first turned it over to Marcia, and she had to nudge me a few times in emails to get me to even send my work because I was hesitant. What's she going to think of it? And what is she going to think of me? You know, all that started to flush up for me. And I had to breathe through all that and surrender it and just send it off. And when she sent the first, three or six pages back to me, it was amazing. I mean, it was like an electrical shock because she got me and she got the story. And when she said to me, "You're not trusting your story, your voice in the story, you're not trusting it," I got it. Mm-hmm. I realized, oh my gosh, that's exactly what I needed to hear. And she knows how to do this. I can trust her with this. And I felt very safe with her in that moment. And I knew that we had something pretty special together.
Right.
And I wanted to move beyond the book as well. And I didn't just want to do the book. I wanted to make a difference in the lives that the book touched around adversity, not just cancer, but just plain old adversity.
Yes.
And then I started talking to Marcia about that and asked her if she'd be willing to come on board and let's form this company. And so it started out as the two of us putting our heads together and deciding I knew what I wanted to do, and I was, you know, throwing out the ideas, and we started refining. And then I had another lady that had been put in touch with me, and she kind of bugged me to see her, and I'd been really busy, and I finally surrendered and went to visit with her. We had lunch, and I recognized that there was a piece of what Marcia and I were creating, that there was another piece that we needed help with. And that was more the business side of it and someone who knew more the technical side of it.
Right.
And this person who was also very spiritually involved in her life, very conscious and a life coach, she had all of that background. And so we invited her in, and her name is Marla Williams. And the three of us created Intentional Shift. And our website is intentionalshift.com.
Wonderful.
So we can make the book an extension of the work we want to do in the world.
Yeah, and it seems like this divinely guided collaborative project is already reaching many and has the potential to really shift lives. And we're going to get into what the gift of cancer might be when we return here on The Christine Upchurch Show.
What does a dentist of the year get? A little plaque. Welcome to Smile Big, where we offer cosmetic, restorative, and preventative dentistry. Dr. James Rosenwald and Dr. Susan Abdenard work hard every day for their clients to be happy to smile with the latest equipment for complete smile restoration for anyone. The sooner you call, the sooner they can help. Call 425-454-4040 or email scheduling@smilebig.com. You can even visit our website at smilebig.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
Tune in to Heart Center Talk Radio with David Christopher Lewis, a gifted clairaudient, Aquarian spiritual author, and talented musical composer on TransformationTalkRadio.com every Wednesday, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with delivering more than 4,000 messages from angels, masters, and divine beings. David will share the Ascended Master's teachings, insights, and surprising revelations to lightbearers. Meet transformative guests who embody change and inspire hope and get a refreshing and deeply meaningful perspective on life.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Guide us with your grace to a place where we'll be safe.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with the co-authors of The Gift of Cancer, Brenda Michaels and Marcia Mercant. And you know, you guys talked about how you connected and the importance of your mission in bringing this forward. I'm a little perplexed. I think many will be perplexed by referring to cancer as a gift. Can you first share with us, Brenda, your journey that included cancer not once, not twice, but was it three times?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's interesting. I spoke at a women's conference a couple weekends ago, and a couple of the ladies came up to me after they heard me speak and said they had to admit, something to me, that when they walked in the door and they saw the books on the display and they picked them up and looked at the title, they were very angry because they had both lost beloved, you know, friends of theirs recently to cancer, and they couldn't fathom how something like that is a gift in their life. And I just shared from my perspective of when a person dies, regardless of what they die of, I just feel it is our sacred duty to honor their life and to honor their death. And to know that from my perspective, there are no accidents in the universe. And that is, this is how they were going to leave, and it was their time to go.
And I imagine that there are people who have been experiencing cancer who actually might be a little offended or taken aback by referring to what they're experiencing, which can be horrible.
Absolutely.
As a gift.
Well, and, you know, they need to have the experience they're having and be okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that you're going to get cancer or find out your husband's been sleeping with a secretary and he walks down one morning and says, honey, I'm leaving you flat and leaves. I'm not saying that when those experiences come that you're going to see the gift in that. You know, that's what hindsight is all about. All I'm saying is that if we just are a little bit willing, once we've moved through some of the deepest pain around it and we start to come up and take a breath, if we can just catch a glimpse of the possibility that there is something really major moving in our lives that is for us.
Oh, yes. And I think that's such an important point, because I think that many view the universe, God, whatever you want to call it, as kind of being out to get them. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about the universe moving for you.
Yes.
Right.
Even within the context of something difficult.
It's not that you would necessarily choose some of these things that happen. It's not like I'm going to choose this because, I'm going to get a gift out of it. Wow, that'll be cool. It's like, no, you don't. It's not like, no, I wouldn't have chosen for my friend to leave. Yeah. But she did. That was her life path. And I'm a part of that.
Right.
So how do I turn that into something that is glorious for me? How do I honor her? Because if I just stayed in the pain of that, that would not be honoring her and her life and what she meant to me and what she meant to so many other people. I need to see the gift in it so that I can move forward. And I know that she's guiding this. She took me to L.A. to meet Brenda. Mm-hmm. You know, she has been guiding. She's been here all week. Mm-hmm. It's been,
divinely orchestrated.
Really, yes. Something so funny last night. We were at East West Books and right before we started, I was by myself in the room and I was having a little conversation with her, which I often do.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I was in meditation and I said to her, I want to be one of those fabulous old people. And she said to me, you are a fabulous old person.
I wish you could see Marcia. Yeah. She doesn't look old at all.
Hardly.
But I just laughed. I said, oh, my God, you are still making me laugh. Yeah. It was just so funny.
But Marcia just made a really important point. You know, we don't on some level we call everything forth. And I'm not saying that so you feel guilty.
Right.
But because everything is for us. Uh-huh. Why not? Why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't our soul? We are soul directed.
Sure.
Why wouldn't our soul be calling that forth for us? Because the gift in it is that we open our hearts even more.
Mm-hmm.
And that not only that she could honor her friend, but the most loving and compassionate thing that Marcia could do for herself is to step out of the pain at some point. Because the choice is, if you stay in it, you will become bitter.
Right.
Is that what you want to do to yourself,
yes,
to your life, to your body, to your friends, to your loved ones who are going to feel that from you and have to experience that with you?
Uh-huh.
Is that where you want to be? It is really a choice that we get to make. Or do we want to turn it around and dig for the gift, mm-hmm, and find it? And it could be more than one, because it's been many with this book and, mm-hmm, and my journey. And allow that to be the thing that moves you forward in life.
Right, right. So tell us about your cancer journey. It all started in your mid-20s, right?
It did. At 26. I was diagnosed with cervical cancer.
Wow.
And I was in an abusive marriage, a struggling marriage. And so my emphasis was on my marriage. And I was a very unconscious 26-year-old,
mm-hmm,
you know, drinking, smoking, living the life.
Right.
And that's what we consider living life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I had the hysterectomy and I was told that because of the cancer, I'd have to have that done and I couldn't have children.
Uh-huh.
I just kind of glossed over all of that.
Oh, my goodness.
And my focus was on my husband. Was this going to help him to see me that he could lose me? And was,
ooh,
this going to change? Oh, it was really toxic.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm saying ooh because it sounds so familiar because, you know, a quarter century ago, I was facing cancer and I was thinking, well, you know, maybe it's finally going to wake him up to see me.
Yep.
And
it's like, that's exactly, Christine, you just took the words out of my mouth. That's exactly what I was thinking. And so I wasn't even focused on myself.
Uh-huh.
And I wasn't focused on the fact that I would never be a mother.
Right.
And I wasn't focused on the fact that I had cancer.
Uh-huh.
That's a big deal. I just glossed it all over and I shoved it like I did most everything, shoved it in the closet, closed the door.
Yeah. And so many people do that. It's not like you were unique in that sense.
Right. And then I just went on with my life and I didn't change anything about me or about my life. Any of the symptoms, if you will, that were begging my attention.
Right.
And my body was showing a big symptom then.
Uh-huh.
And I wasn't paying attention.
So you're saying it was a symptom. So what was the underlying cause?
I believe for me, it was all the emotional and the spiritual dis-ease, the never facing my feelings, never being allowed to have my feelings, taking on beliefs from the time I was very young that I wasn't good enough, that I would never amount to much. you know, those things that we hear from our parents who struggle in their lives, and they don't mean to harm us, but it changes us.
Right. And they're really passing on reflections of their own self-value.
Yes, their own self-doubt. So I grew up very insecure and very, I have to admit, there was a part of me that was filled with self-hatred because I didn't think I was good enough at anything and that I wouldn't amount to anything. And I think it's why I married so young, because I was afraid I couldn't make it on my own. And it's why I stayed in that marriage for 13 years of that abuse. I was more afraid to be alone than I was to suffer the abuse.
Wow.
Yeah. And I believe that weakened my body and it opened up. And I believe that this was a soul directed thing. Mm-hmm. As I said before, this was no accident for me. Right. On some level, I was calling this forth for this experience. Uh-huh. And that was sort of the first time, the tap on the door.
Uh-huh.
And then it took 13 years and I had it in my left breast.
Wow.
And it was undiagnosed for 2 years. They missed it.
Oh, dear.
And that was the knock on the door, and I still didn't wake up.
Okay, so when did you wake up?
The third time, when they told me I had about a year before it would become metastatic cancer.
Dear.
And 25, 30 years ago, metastatic cancer was a death sentence. And
And I love the dialogue that you created, Marcia, in here. I've just got to read this because it puts you there in Brenda's place. It puts you in that doctor's office, and way too many people have heard things like this. I would be remiss if I didn't give it to you straight. Hunkering down for the bottom line, he continued, it is my best professional opinion that within 1 to 3 years, and let me stress that 3 years is stretching it, there is a very good probability your cancer will metastasize. What does that mean exactly? I asked, ready to refute his learned opinion. What it means exactly is that it will spread to your bones, brain, or lungs, he answered, boring into my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yes. And then he said, he followed that up with, and once that happens, there's nothing we can do for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And that's...
With help like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he actually really emphasized that he thought it was going to happen. Personally, he thought it was going to happen within a year because it was systemic. Uh-huh. I mean, I'd had it three times. It's traveling through my nodes. So it's not like there's nothing that has stopped it so far.
And how many years ago was that?
25.
Okay.
And, you know, it's significant, I think, that when Brenda was back in New York with me in May and did the segment on the Today Show, we had the opportunity to meet with Dr. Gonzalez, who is the doctor who she went to see in New York that helped her with the physical part of her healing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
And we met with him for a couple of hours, and she hadn't seen him in 25 years since, you know, her healing.
Uh-huh.
And it was really incredible. But he said, you know, the Today Show had called to check with him and make sure, you know, that she was the real deal. And
right.
Rightly so. So he said he had gone to look at her records, you know, got them out of storage. And he said, I had forgotten how sick you were.
Uh-huh.
He said, you were really, really sick, and you're... Your cancer, what is
that? I had
cancer index, is that
yeah,
what it,
well, he had, there's stages.
Staging, yeah.
And I was in third stage something.
Stage three,
something.
Right.
Yes.
I used to work in cancer research, so yeah, that stage three is, you know,
it's pretty
advanced. Right.
Yes.
Well, we're going to want to hear about what you did to have this longevity and say goodbye to cancer and say hello to life when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Pat. I know you've heard my friend and colleague, John G. Sutton, on my show. Well, guess what? He is now going to be a regular each month. I know many of you have experienced John live on air and how absolutely incredibly accurate he has been. So guess what? He's going to be joining us every month. For those of you that want to find out more about John and schedule your amazing session, go to psychicworld.net. Don't forget to stay tuned and tune in for John G. Sutton on the Dr. Pat Show every month.
This is Peggy Snow, practitioner at Stellar Reflections, with a Stellar Reflections Minute. So many people these days are trying to find ways to relieve their stress. What happens to our breathing when we're feeling overwhelmed and stress? When we tune in, we realize that we're either holding our breath or taking very shallow breath. To signal the body that all is well, which most of the time it is, sometimes all that is needed is a nice, deep breath to break the cycle. First, exhale to get all the stale air out by engaging the abdominal muscles and blowing gently. Next, take a nice full breath in, feeling it fill your body all the way down to your hips. Release fully and enjoy the freedom of movement. Notice how your body feels. Do you feel refreshed? Calmness is only a breath away. This has been a Stellar Reflections Minute. For more information about what we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Nella mia preghiera,
let this be our
prayer. Quanta fede c'è.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today that's so much fun and very interesting, and you're going to be glad you joined us for the second half hour. I'm talking to Brenda Michaels and Marcia Mercant. They are the authors of The Gift of Cancer. It tells about Brenda's story of cancer, not once, not twice, but three times. And apparently three's the charm.
Yes.
Third time's the charm.
I'm German, and, well, I'm not all German, but I have a lot of German in me. I'm very stubborn.
I think well, stubbornness can come in handy sometimes.
Yes.
So, okay, you know, they did their thing the first time around. It came back. The doctors did their thing.
Mm-hmm.
It came back.
Mm-hmm.
It came back again, and they're giving you a death sentence, more mm-hmm. or less. Okay, you mm-hmm. might have a year to live. If you're really lucky, maybe three. What did you choose to do?
Well, it's so interesting because I was not a person that was involved spiritually in my life, and I wasn't metaphysically inclined at that time. And I had obviously never listened to my body, or I wouldn't be sick three times mm-hmm. with this. And it was an interesting thing that was happening because I knew he was going to insist on chemotherapy this time. He had wanted to do it when my first breast was taken off.
Uh-huh.
And this time he was really insisting on it and said he could probably give me at least 5 years, maybe more, if I did that treatment. And as he was talking about the chemotherapy, a couple things were going on. Very subtle, the voice. I'm hearing a little something, but more I had this fist that kind of just showed up in my solar plexus, and it was so visceral. I mean, it almost like I wanted to hunch over from it.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, wow. And it was every time we talked about the treatment. And so...
So you're getting communication in your body.
I'm getting communication from my body. And then very subtly, I'm hearing that this isn't going to be enough.
Mm-hmm.
This really isn't what is going to help me. Now, that scared the hell out of me too, because, okay, if that isn't going to work, what am I going to do?
Right.
You know, what am I going to do? I had no idea. So what it did when I got home, and I said, of course, I've got to discuss this with my husband, and that's what I used, because I wasn't going to commit to anything at that point.
Right.
I went home and prayed, and you know, I just started asking for help and guidance, and what do I do? And I realized I couldn't do this. I could not do this protocol, no matter what my doctor said. And he was the chief of staff of Cedars, and he was the head of oncology. So he'd had 30 years of experience.
Right.
And to go against that, and when I told my family and friends that I had said no to the chemo, and I still at that point didn't know what I was going to do, they were irate with me.
So
everybody was upset.
I want to set the stage here in terms of the kind of support or lack thereof there was. What year was this?
This was 19...
late 80s?
89.
That's exactly when I had the early stages of the lymphoma. Mm-hmm. And I remember like hearing from my therapist that you can use visualization and going to bookstores. First of all, there were very few books that were on the shelves, and you'd have to go to these weird little bookstores to find those right. kinds of books.
Right.
There wasn't a lot of support out there. It wasn't talked about on radio. No. It wasn't the sort of thing that you know people talked about in social settings. So here you were bucking the standard of care and you know, probably infuriating and saddening many of your loved ones.
Well, my father was so upset and so mad at me. He was so angry that he said he was going to fly down and grab me and bring me back to Spokane. Uh-huh. And he was going to make sure that I had the proper treatment. And he was really mad at my then husband, Scott, who was going along with me, that he wouldn't make sure that I did the right thing.
Right.
And the right thing for them was the medical treatment.
Yes.
I also had a lady in her 50s at that time, incredible woman named Cheska, and she was beautiful and very wise, and I thought she of all people would understand, and she was upset with me. So I did not have the support of friends or family behind me at all. The only person that supported me was Scott.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So what did you choose to do? You said
no to
conventional
the
therapy.
Right. You know, the moment, and Marcia talked about this at East West last night when she started the talk, about when you say yes to something. When she said yes to writing for the very first time for Marianne Helpham's books, when you make that commitment to something, it's very interesting. The universe starts to line up everything you need to support that.
Right.
And when I said no to the chemo, I didn't know what I was going to commit to, but I was saying yes to something else, and I was asking God to bring it forth.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't long before books started coming my way, and then I heard that Marianne Williamson, and I was learning about her, was speaking two blocks from my house every Tuesday night.
Wow.
And man, I was there like you can't believe in the first row, and I took copious notes, and I'm reading the books she recommended. And then my husband, all of a sudden, my then husband said, "Oh my God, I forgot. I have a chiropractic friend, a chiropractor in Seattle, that works with a doctor, an MD in New York, that treats the physical body for cancer holistically. Maybe we should check into that."
Right.
And
right.
so I followed that trail.
And that's who you were talking about before, Marcia.
Yes, Dr. Gonzalez
in New York. But everything I needed to support me, once I committed and said yes, it was there for me. And we had no money. Uh-huh. We were newlyweds. We'd used all our money to move. Scott had just gotten into the business. He was just starting to make a little money. We'd used up everything. I'd had two surgeries we couldn't pay for.
Mm-hmm.
We claimed medical bankruptcy, and luckily we were able to pay it all back a few years later.
Uh-huh.
But we were in turmoil on every level that way. And yet everything I needed came, and everything I needed to pay for it or to sponsor me showed up.
Wow.
And tell me that isn't a gift.
Yes. So Marcia, in these kinds of processes, whether somebody's, you know, working to heal or whether it's about finding your way into, you know, your inspired profession, how important is it to let go?
Oh my gosh. It's everything. Really, to surrender to it, you know. It's like we talk about when you resist something, it persists. You know, if you push up against something, it pushes back. Mm-hmm. If you push and you let go of that, then you know you fly through it.
Right.
And it takes tremendous trust and faith to surrender. You know, it took me a long time to understand that surrender wasn't giving up.
Yes.
You know,
that's a good nugget right there.
Yeah. A lot of people think that that's what it's about. You know, I've just thrown in the towel and, you know, life as I know it is over.
Right.
But surrender is letting go, knowing that there is something greater and getting to that point where you know that everything that happens is good.
Mm-hmm.
It's all good. All of it. Even if the appearance is that it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the true gift in life is to know that everything that happens in your life is a gift.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Everything.
Everything.
And that's very, very difficult for people, you know.
I think that people often don't let go until they have no other choice.
Yes.
And that's why Brenda's talking about the tap on the door, the knock on the door, the you know, the door blowing open.
Right.
You know, that's like the cosmic 2x4 upside the head.
Mm-hmm.
And usually that's what most of us need to get it. Something really dramatic has to happen to put you in that state.
I wrote an article years ago called You Can't Serve Two Masters. You can't serve your ego and serve the God of you. You have to make a choice.
Mm.
And we're serving, most people are serving their egos.
Right.
I did for years. And in service to the ego, one of the ego's greatest stances is it has to be right.
Uh-huh.
So that surrender and trust piece is huge because the ego's need to be right usually trumps everything.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're suffering, you have the right to suffer. Mm-hmm. Even if you feel victimized and you're a victim, I have the right to be the victim and I'm going to prove it. And that's how I lived the first 30 some years of my life.
Right. And, you know, the ego can come in really handy for doing things like setting boundaries, but it has to be the servant and not the master.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing, you know, we don't want to vilify the ego because we do need to have an authentic, healthy ego.
Sure.
To,
if we're going
to live our lives.
Bodies, separate, you know, energy fields within the context of being human, the ego does come in really handy.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And it isn't that there's something wrong with the ego. It's that we give it way too much power.
Uh-huh. Yeah, when it's the driving force, that's when the problems
It's going to drive us off the cliff, and a lot of people are living on the edge of the cliff and wondering why they're struggling so much and they're suffering.
And but then we can say, see, I told you I was going to go off the cliff.
Yeah,
you know,
See,
you know?
The ego's right.
Then the ego gets to be right, and then, you know, everybody's happy.
My favorite saying, my ego's favorite saying was, see, life is a bitch, and then you die. That's what my ego used to feed up to me a lot.
Yeah, right, right.
See,
yeah.
You're right.
Boy, what and you look and you can really look objectively at like what that does to your life.
Oh my God.
Whew.
That's scary. Yes. Well, we have to go to another quick break, but when we return, more with Brenda Michaels and Marcia Mercant when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, how did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you ready to move past limiting beliefs and unconscious obstacles that are holding you back from financial prosperity? Do you want to be free from debt and that feeling of being disempowered? Mary Jane Allen is a financial healer and joy creation specialist who uses her unique set of tools included in her financial healing process to help her clients move past those beliefs and fears. For more information and to contact Mary Jane, visit her website, manifestyourlifedream.com, and begin your financial healing process today.
Called the Oprah of Radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's THEDRPatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific and 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Changemakers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, the arts, education, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit TheDrJulieShow.com.
Like I don't care, baby, by the way, because I'm happy.
Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof,
because I'm happy.
Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a wonderful conversation today with two bright lights here in the studio, Brenda Michaels and Marcia Mercant. And we're talking about Brenda's journey through life, which included three bouts of cancer. And the third time you really woke up and you began to work on the physical aspects. What kind of physical support did you get from Dr. Gonzalez?
Oh, it was incredible. And what was so great about the physical support is because I was doing all the emotional clearing and the spiritual work that I was doing on my own, and I was just learning it. I was learning it from like people like Marianne Williamson and reading books, but I was also getting lots of downloads of energy information. And I think you understand what I
mean. Oh, absolutely. It's where I live.
Getting a lot of downloads. So I'm writing all this down, and I'm like, I'm having these aha moments everywhere. And I was... those were some of the happiest times. And here I am working through cancer, but I was like in this place of just amazing things unfolding in my life and amazing information being brought to me. And I was able to use it, put it to good use.
So you were living fully within the context of a death sentence.
I was, totally. In fact, I'd never felt more alive. Wow. And that was so cool. And then I got on Dr. Gonzalez's program, and he said to me when I sat in front of him the second day I was there, he kind of sat back in his chair and he looked at me. He kind of like studying me, and I was getting a little uncomfortable, and I was holding Scott's hand and I squeezed it. And then I finally looked at him. I said, "What?" And he said, "You know, you're not like the other cancer patients I've had in my office." Hmm. And I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "You're not needy." And he said, sick people are needy. They need their desire to get well and the neediness that comes from that, from the fear around it. And he said, you give back. And he said, I've never had a patient that's had cancer that is that clear about that. Well, I was already starting to do some of the work by then, and it was starting to show up. And that was sort of that recognition for me.
It's interesting because Bernie Siegel, who wrote Love, Medicine, Miracles, and a bunch of others, he's going to be on my
and endorsed,
program.
And endorsed our book.
Yes, and he's going to be on the show in a few weeks, I think it is. He talks about the importance of giving back. If you've got a problem, then start giving. Because that giving shifts things around dramatically.
Right. Yeah. If you're feeling like, even, you know, financially, you know, tithing is like a big thing to people. It's like if you feel like you don't have anything, give some of it away.
Right.
Yeah. You know, give 10% of away. I don't care if it's just a dollar. Give a dime.
Yeah.
You know, it's opening up that channel to giving.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So that flows through to others, but it also affected you, didn't it?
Oh, it did. And I was, like I said, I was really starting to blossom as a person, as who I really am, I believe. And he recognized that, and that was beautiful. But his program, I will tell you, is a very, very challenging program to stay on. You're on a incredibly restricted diet. You're taking, I was taking up to 143 vitamins, minerals, and herbs a day.
Oh my goodness, how do you swallow that many pills?
Right, and having to get up in the middle of the night, have my alarm clock set to take certain enzymes, etc. And then you're doing coffee enemas, and you're doing all these during the breaks. Once a month, you're doing these really heavy duty detoxification protocols that ask for you to swallow some pretty horrible stuff. And so a lot of patients, he told me, really struggled with it.
Sure.
And he introduced me to a couple of patients of his in LA that I got in touch with because he said they're struggling. Maybe you can help them, because once I committed to it, again, I stuck with it. Right. I was 100% with it. And I struggled in the beginning, but I stuck with it anyway until it became easy for me. Mm-hmm. And I just did it, and I knew it was all a part of me cleaning out and me and the real me rising up inside of me, and I was all for it. I was like, he said, you know, you're like the cheerleader. And I said, yeah, I'm now the cheerleader for God, the God of me.
Ah,
yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. You know, you said something earlier, Brenda, about if people had been listening to their bodies, then they wouldn't have cancer. Marcia, what's your perspective on the role that cancer plays in people's lives?
Oh, boy, that's a big one. You know, it's so individual. It's so unique to each person. It can be a gift. It can open up your life and make it mean something more to you. It can change your direction. You know, it's interesting in that we talk about healing from cancer. My friend who left this life, she had a healing before she went.
And what was that?
Well, she didn't know until the last couple weeks of her life what she meant to people.
Oh.
She truly did not know what an important person she was, how much love she exuded, and how much people cared for her. And in the, you know, the last couple of years before she died, she was doing shamanic training. She was a healer. And in those last 2 weeks when the doctor said, there's nothing more we can do, this is it, she went home with her husband, and people flew in from all over the country to say goodbye to her.
Wow.
And she, in her own words, she said to me, I held court. Mm-hmm. And people came, and she said, you know, she talked them through her death. Mm-hmm. She talked them through feeling better. You know, I said to her, I don't know how to say goodbye to you. Mm-hmm. I don't know how. Mm-hmm. And she said, I know, honey. I know. Mm-hmm. And she was just this little angel being, you know. So she healed. Her healing involved her going to the next realm.
Right.
Brenda's healing involved her staying here to do her work.
Uh-huh.
Melinda
went
on to do her work someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And Marcia's making a point about peace. When can die and live in peace and be peaceful no matter what is going on in our lives,
yes.
Oh, my God. And that's a tremendous gift.
She was at peace.
Yes.
She was.
Yes.
And I think that coming from that place of allowing, it sort of engages us with the soul on a really deep level to have our experience play out perfectly to live fully and die fully, you know, fully consciously, you know.
And we have such a I don't know, just the weirdest beliefs about death.
Oh, we do.
We
it's
do.
Failure, isn't
oh,
it's, it?
It yes. is. It's mm-hmm. it's we don't honor it. We don't die in peace. We die, regretful and bitter and angry. My father, when he was dying, he says, "Why is God doing this to me?"
Aww.
And I said, "Dad, God isn't doing anything to you but loving you. You're doing this to you by that belief that you're carrying, that something's being done to you again." And
right.
when really he could have had a beautiful passing.
Because we don't talk about death in
well,
America.
Well, it's considered a failure.
It is.
Yeah. People
whoops,
get,
everybody's going to fail.
Well,
yeah, right.
People get illnesses, and don't they carry shame about that?
Absolutely.
I did.
Yeah.
I was ashamed when I had cancer. Embarrassment. I'm putting a burden on Scott. I'm putting a burden on my friends, my family.
And scaring people about their own potential
mortality
or death.
Yes, right. Absolutely.
Yeah, right.
And so we have so many misconstrued beliefs and ideas.
And, you know, this hour has just flown by. I want to tell listeners again, the book is wonderful. It's The Gift of Cancer. And Brenda and Marcia, you've been doing lots of book signings and presentations. What do you have left here in the Seattle area?
Tomorrow I will be, Marcia's leaving. Oh, I can't believe you're leaving. But I will be at Vitamin Life in Redmond from noon to 1. And it's the final leg of, you know, the final talk of our leg this week of the launch here in Seattle. So if you can all come, I would just love to see you.
Wonderful. And
and you can get the book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and in bookstores.
Yeah, and all the bookstores.
What's the website?
Intentional Shift.
Oh, I like that.
.com.
Intentional shift. May we all shift and find gifts within our life. Thank you both for joining me here today. Couple of quick announcements. Wanted to mention that the Vibrational Structures teleseminar that I gave is now up on my website. If you're curious about how transformation occurs on an energetic level and why certain energetic processes that are non-touch and short-lived can actually transform your life quickly with longevity, please check that out. It's stellarreflections.com, the events page. Go on that and click on that. Also, I've got some upcoming training for practitioners. If you are inspired to help others through non-touch energetic processes that create sacred geometry in a person to help shift their lives in meaningful ways, please consider, whether you've got experience or not, please consider coming to the training. We've got November 15th, 16th, and 17th. Again, more information on the website. And next week, you want to tune in. I'm really excited. The woman I went firewalking with for the first time ever, Heather Ashimara. She's the author of Warrior Goddess Training. That book is all over Facebook. People are yakking about it here and there. And it is a very powerful book, and you don't want to miss it. Talk to you next week, everybody.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com.
What does a dentist of the year get? A little plaque. Welcome to Smile Big, where we offer cosmetic, restorative, and preventative dentistry. Dr. James Rosenwald and Dr. Susan Abdenard work hard every day for their clients to be happy to smile with the latest equipment for complete smile restoration for anyone. The sooner you call, the sooner they can help. Call 425-454-4040 or email scheduling@smilebig.com. You can even visit our website at smilebig.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
Tune in to Heart Center Talk Radio with David Christopher Lewis, a gifted clairaudient, Aquarian spiritual author, and talented musical composer on TransformationTalkRadio.com every Wednesday, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with delivering more than 4,000 messages from angels, masters, and divine beings. David will share the Ascended Master's teachings, insights, and surprising revelations to lightbearers. Meet transformative guests who embody change and inspire hope and get a refreshing and deeply meaningful perspective on life.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.